This is Sam Walsh, and I'm sitting in the studio with bassist Devin Bryant and guitarist and vocalist Kyle Wehrstein from the band Fury Things. They just got done playing a show for us in our studio. First off, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us. It's always awesome. It's always such a treat to get to come into Studio K.
Yeah, and this is your third time.
It is our third time.
Awesome.
I was saying in the car, I think that's mostly just because we haven't broken up yet.
Yeah.
If you just don't break up, you'll get back eventually.
We'll talk about that later. I'd love to talk about the longevity of your guys' band. But first off, I'd love to know, where are you from and what is it known for?
We're from here. like Minneapolis, like the Twin Cities. We're not, none of us are from here originally.
No.
But we met kind of through just various ways.
Like, playing music. I mean, playing music in other projects. Town, and kind of met each other and sort of fell together. In practice one, we sort of sounded like a band. So we just kept that going for five years.
So I don't know like what here is known for.
Prince,
Husker Du.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's go with that. I like Husker Du. I like Prince too. I mean, who doesn't?
Of course. And that kind of leans into our a question we've got later. But going back to the what's it known for, given that Minneapolis is such a big city, it's kind of interesting to kind of press the people who live there because it is known for so much. But what is it really known for you guys? You know what I mean? What do you think of? And you said Prince and Husker Du.
I mean, music.
Yeah, music for sure. Also, the film Jingle All the Way. The Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie.
That was that here?
Yeah. And also also The Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Charlie's mom worked at Mickey's Dining Car in St. Paul.
Yep. Wow, I had no idea. But I think both of those came out around in the 90s.
Oh yeah. Completely.
I was watching those. I had no idea.
Also,
that was here, though.
Also Louis Anderson.
He's from here.
He's from here.
Terry Gilliam from Monty Python. He was born in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Well, man, you guys answered my question tenfold.
I don't think that last one's true.
Terry Gilliam?
Is he from Minneapolis?
Of course he is.
I didn't know that.
Like, I would say something about Monty Python that wasn't true, Kyle. You know me.
I think that a non sequitur about Monty Python would be a Monty Python thing to say.
No. He's from Minneapolis. He's American.
That's cool. I knew that. I didn't know he was from here. So I learned something.
There you go. Right.
That's cool.
Amazing.
Free college education.
We're laughing and we're learning.
That's great.
Mostly learning.
All right. Well, Kyle, what is the first show that you ever saw? And I'd like to know both where it was, the venue, and who it was.
I went and saw... So my dad was in the military, so I grew up in Germany. And as I started to become like a, you know, adolescent, I had the opportunity to see a lot of European bands that I was really into at the time.
Sure.
And so the first real show that I went to, where like my mom like went with me, because, you know, that was like probably like 11 or 12 or something. Like I went and saw Maximo Park. They're this like Britpop band that were like, or like garage revival sort of thing. Like
mid 2000s.
I was a really big fan of theirs. And I saw them at like a small venue, probably like maybe 200, 300 capacity in the town where I was living in Germany.
Oh, perfect.
So, it was awesome. It was amazing. As soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do, because I had just started playing guitar. And so to see like an actual, you know, like band that was, you know, probably at the height of like their creative output, you know, really on point, playing a cool show, that was really awesome.
That first record is really underrated, A Certain Trigger.
Oh, like criminally.
That's a good record.
And, and what's the band called again?
Maximo Park.
Maximo Park.
Yeah. Well,
they're like from Northern England. They're friends and sort of their band members intersect with like Field Music and the Futureheads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
they're the less known of those three, but they're kind of all came up together.
Gotcha. Really cool. Well, definitely something we'll all have to check.
They're really
out.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great record.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. Well, Devin, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Who is the most iconic Minnesota-specific musician or band? And before the first question that we asked was, where are you from and what is it known for? And you guys said that you immediately went to music and you listed off Husker Du and Prince and all these great bands. Well, this question is a bit more specific.
Right.
So I've got some options for this one.
Okay.
So who is the most iconic...
Multiple choice,
right? Yeah, make it a little bit easier for you guys. Who is the most iconic Minnesota musician or band? And we've got A, Other, B, Prince, A, Other, C, The Replacements, D, Suicide Commandos, or E, Judy Garland.
Ooh.
I can do that again.
I do love me some Judy Garland. I'm gonna have to go for Husker Du.
That's technically A, Other.
That's A, Other, exactly, Husker Du. I'm not from here. I grew up in Colorado. I'm from Boulder, and Husker Du were my favorite band when I was like 14, 15, and that was, you know, in the 90s or whatever. It was a while ago, and I loved their music, and that's not why I moved here, but when I moved here, I found out that I had actually moved to, I live two blocks from where Husker Du met, at the old location for Cheapo Records in St. Paul, and right over by McAllister, which is where Bob Mould went to school, and it was just weird. And then when we formed our band and went on our first proper tour, we ended up, oddly enough, booking a tour not on purpose, but that followed exactly the route of the first Husker Du tour out of town.
Wow.
Going up to Calgary, yep. And then to Edmonton. Well, mm-hmm. That wasn't planned initially, but we did Calgary, Edmonton, then over to Vancouver, then down to Seattle, and then down to San Francisco, which is exactly the route that Husker Du did for their first tour, which I didn't know until we were doing it and I was reading his autobiography at the same time. So I feel like a lot of confluence with Husker Du, their sound, and and just, I mean, their influence is just kind of impossible to categorize. They had such an impact on all the music that followed them. So yeah. I got to go with Husker Du.
That's a great answer.
That's a good answer. Tay Zonday is from Minneapolis.
Really?
He did Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, no, I know Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, he's from here.
Wow. Is that your A other?
No.
All right.
It's important to note.
It is.
All right. Well, Kyle, what's your answer to the question? Do you have a most iconic Minnesota musician or band that comes to mind?
I mean, I'd have to probably agree with Devin.
Sure.
In terms of not just, you know, their creative output, but their influence on bands that are very, very important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
definitely
like Black Francis, when he was forming the Pixies, when he found Kim Deal, he put an ad in the paper looking for somebody who was influenced by Husker Du and Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Really?
So, yeah. Wow, so, I mean, so that's... they were like aware, you know, and certainly, I mean, you can't omit the Suicide Commandos from the conversation as well, because, you know, they're seeing a bit of a career resurgence right now because of their awesome new album. And we had the opportunity to play with both them and Bob Mould at First Avenue last year. And that was very humbling to sort of see three generations of musicians from the city, you know, sort of doing something right after Prince had passed away too.
It was the weekend after Prince died.
It was the first, it was the first actual show. Technically the first show after Prince passed away at First Avenue was Corey Taylor from Slipknot acoustic. So I like to say that we're the actual first show.
Gotcha. Well,
that was an incredible weekend though, because that, you know, they turned the club into an all night dance party both nights after our show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just kind of crazy to be in, like, the energy in the room is impossible to really categorize, you know, the goodwill towards us was very nice, but just like you could feel the room just crackling. Like this was the place that Prince saved, you know, because he saved that club.
Yeah.
And Bob Mould is the guy with the star right underneath Prince's star, outside of the building. So we were there opening for him that weekend. It was very humbling.
Yeah.
And you know, one of a kind for sure.
Yeah, that really sounds like something else.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Mm-hmm. We've got a question from our audience. We're trying to do this new thing where we get some audience generated questions.
Cool.
So if you're out there listening, feel free to drop us a question. You can find us on Twitter at Radio K or on Facebook. And we've got another in-studio performance next Friday. Be sure to leave a comment or a question for the next band that's coming in. The question this week is, what thing has changed the most over the time that you guys have been a band? And I think it's important to preface that question. We were talking earlier in the studio that you guys have been a band for how long now?
Five years.
So for 5 years. So some things stay the same, some things change. What has changed the most over the course of the 5 years?
Musically or just sort of in general?
It can be, I think you can, it's however open. It's open-ended. It. Yeah.
I mean, the frequency of climate-related extreme weather.
Certainly. Politics.
You know, the political climate has changed. I feel like, you know,
hardened.
I think in the last 5 years, there's been this really interesting destabilization where I feel like I'm living in a time that, you know, 30, 40 years from now, if we're still here, we're going to look at the books that were written about this time and think, you know, wow, there was, you know, something happening. In terms of the sort of grassroots social justice movements that have sort of been taking hold, And I think, you know, even still, like, the proliferation of social media and what that's been doing to, like, the musical landscape.
Yeah.
I think Spotify has become a bigger thing. You know, the decentralization of music ownership and what it means to own music. And in some ways, that's been good because people are buying records at merch tables. Mm-hmm. Still, some people buy CDs.
Lots more people buy CDs. I expect.
Yeah.
Still buy CDs.
But, you know, the concept of what it means to own a piece of music is still changing. And luckily, like, right when we started was sort of when Bandcamp was sort of hitting sort of peak popularity in terms of, you know, like, as a new platform for artists to publish their content. But it's amazing, like, how much has stayed the same in 5 years, but how it's all totally on its head, too. You know?
Sure. Wow. Well, that's a wonderful answer. I didn't expect you to go the route of actual music format changing. I can totally see.
Yeah,
it totally is. Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Oh, no. Yeah. It's one of those things where we get, you know, royalties for our spins, and and they're half of a cent because of the way that Spotify has tiered sort of licensing agreements between bands that make money for Spotify, air quotes, and bands that sort of publish through, you know, whatever platform they use to publish their music. And so it's never been easier to get heard. It's also never been harder to have that, you know, work for you.
Sure. Well, well said. Well said. All right. Well, we've got one more question for you before we go back to our music. And that's, what does Fury Things have planned for the future?
Oh, boy.
Well, we're making an album next month.
Yeah. We're going to go record our second LP.
A full album.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wonderful. We'll have to have you guys
exciting.
Back in the studio for that then. Huh?
Yeah.
We've been working on it and towards it all year. Actually, a little bit of last year as well. We started the earliest batch of songs for it was like last summer.
Yeah. We started writing it and then really started kicking into high gear sort of after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Started demoing and you know, and it's been interesting because as a band, our creative process has really evolved to be more intentional with both myself as a songwriter, to challenge myself to write better songs and more intentional songs about, you know, like you said, about things that are happening in the world right now, but also as a band to challenge ourselves to make better music and be more intentional with the way that we're producing it.
Yeah. The first couple EPs and everything we did just in our practice space live. Like I was telling you before we started, I went to school for, you know, audio production or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was recording us and mixing us. And then the first LP, we got a buddy of mine from Chicago, Johnny Records, to come up and track it. He's a really talented engineer.
Wonderful.
And then I ended up mixing it just kind of at home. And so then we knew we wanted to do something different for the next record. And so we're going to, you know, it'll be a bigger, more widescreen type of production.
Great.
And to that end, we've done kind of the practice-based demos that in the past might have been our record. We did that actually coincidentally with Mike Blaha from The Blind Shake, because his practice space happens to be next door to us. So he did demos with us.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy to hang out with in a tiny room for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
He's pretty fun. But yeah, we did that. And then currently we're working on kind of like versions of the songs that are more, like Kyle said, intentional, like where we're all working separately. The drummer, Andrew, he's got his own microphone recording setup at home. So he's kind of doing drums at home. And then we're kind of adding our bits to it so that we can really peel the songs apart and
get
at what every single detail is about. Mm-hmm. So that when we go in to record the album next month, we just know it through and through and we're ready to just kind of produce something that's a little bit more military.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, we're just trying to make the best and most accurate representation of what it's like to see us live, which I think is one of the biggest
points of us. To me, it's more like we're trying to get the best representation of what the songs are.
Yeah, that's exactly
true. You know what I mean?
True.
Not even so much live. This is like the songs, like I say, in widescreen, 70mm versions of the
songs. Make them as big as possible, and then, you know, hopefully some touring and, you know, everything else.
So. Yeah, next year we'll definitely have to, we're going to tour off the back of it.
We'll be out there. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I can't wait. Is there a release date really quickly before we get back?
TBA.
TBA?
Okay. Got to get it done first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. All right. Well, you just heard Fury Things live in our studio. You can check them out online or in real life at tomorrow's Food Truck Fest that is a sponsored event by Radio K. You can find out more info for that online. For now, let's get back to the music right here on Radio K, Real College Radio.